Welcome to Glorious Living. I'm so glad every time you join me in Glorious Studio C because we have a great time together and I know you're going to be blessed. I'm glad you're joining me today for today's program because it's going to be such a blessing. We have some great things we want to talk about because school's about to start and you're going to learn some things. And I have Chrissy here with me today.
Always so fun to be with you, Miss Kathy. The joy of the Lord is always here in Studio C.
It always is. And, you know, even before we started taping, we were laughing and you were snorting.
Yeah, I was. I was snorting. I'm a snorter, let me tell you guys. But you know
what? You know, I have a sign in my bathroom, one of my bathrooms, that says, if you're not going to snort, why even laugh?
Come on.
Isn't that wonderful? I need to give that to you.
What a motto. Do you snort? Share in the comments. Sometimes you need a good belly laugh.
We're having fun.
And we have fun. That's because it's glorious living.
That's so good.
And we love sitting here and talking to each other about Jesus and talking to you and encouraging you to step into your destiny gloriously because it is a glorious living. That's what it is. God wants that for you.
That's so good. That's what Jesus came to give us, a good life. Mm-hmm. You know, God. A lot of people have given God a bad rap over the years.
Yep.
He's a bad God. He does things. He sins destruction. No, God's a good God.
Yes.
In fact, Jesus came on the scene and he says, I came that you might have life
and
have it more abundantly.
That's right. Amen.
That's a good life.
Yeah, it is a great life.
I think it's a glorious life.
It sure is. It's a glorious life. Get down with your glorious self.
Amen. I'm doing it.
You, me too.
Every day.
Every day, all the time. Whether you're snorting, laughing, or just kind of giggling.
Yes, that's okay.
I have an awesome testimony from Facebook. And this, Miss Kathy, I know you're going to love this.
Okay.
It says, JDM is awesome. I moved to Destrehan 2 times and I received the gospel at the youth ministry on Wednesday nights. They served pizza and that kind of led me in, but I heard the gospel from there and received Jesus into my heart. Just awesome. What servants of the Lord. Well, that is awesome. The pizza drew them in, but
God
they
used
heard
a lot
about
of
Jesus.
Things. Jesus fed the multitudes.
He
and
sure
brought
did.
Them in, but he gave them the word.
Yes.
And that word is what changed their life.
Amen.
They were born again. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And he was just a youth here, moved to the area. And so that just goes to show you that the people of all ages receiving Jesus, learning about the Lord, and then walking out their destiny, having JDM, reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time.
That's our vision, you
That's
know.
It.
We've been doing it since 1978, and we've had partners that have helped us to do that. From partners from all over the world that help us to do our programming, and we just love our partners. They're such
so
a blessing.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
So thank you, partners, and today is a great program.
It sure is.
You're just going to love it. We're so excited to welcome Monica Ayton to the program for the very first time. Monica has been an educator for over 33 years. She graduated from Brunel University in London with a bachelor's in mathematics and then went on to receive her postgraduate in education. Monica is also the wife of our JDM Director of International Offices, Martin Ayton. And together they have 4 wonderful children. And Monica is here today to share her experiences as a teacher and to encourage educators, students, and parents to thrive in this upcoming school year. Thank you, Monica, for being here with us today.
There she is. I'm so happy you've joined us, Monica. It's great to see you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me along. It's a real privilege to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that word privilege is something that I attach to teaching too. I think it's a real privilege for me to be in my classroom and for the students that come my way, you know.
Yes.
It is so true.
Now, if you're listening, you can kind of probably tell that Monica is not from Louisiana.
Yeah.
But she moved here to Louisiana. How long has it been now that you've been here?
Over 12 years now.
Over 12 years. So when you were reading that testimony about the person who had moved to Destrehan, you moved to Destrehan here with your husband because he was the director of our international offices. You brought your whole family here from Bath, England.
Wow.
And we just, of course, we knew you many years before that, but it's wonderful to see you settled in. And not only have you brought your gifts here, and then you, I think you had to have some different training here in this country before you were able to teach in our school system. Is that correct? Something happened.
Yes. First of all, I needed to get a work permit because the visa didn't give me a work permit, only Martin. And then I went through the process with the WES to approve my certifications that in America for out of state. And then I had to do another set of exams when those expired So yes.
Determination, but you got through it and now you're here.
Which I felt was such a waste because you had so much you had to offer to the children here because you're such a wonderful educator. I mean, this mathematics, I mean, we both say we're not the math whiz, are we?
No, well, I'm more on the English side. Yes.
And we need them.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking and I loved getting to know you more. We were chatting a little bit a few days ago and I just assumed, I said, oh, you teach English, right? You're English? And she's like, no, Chrissy, it's math. Oh, no. Just because I'm English doesn't mean I teach English. It's math.
But definitely mathematics.
I admire that so much. You've had a love for math for such a long time, correct?
Oh, always been my favorite subject. Mm-hmm. But I'm very aware that for a lot of my students, it's not their favorite subject. And that's okay. It takes all sorts. You know, you don't have to make it your favorite subject to be a really good teacher.
So, amen. That's right.
So, you know, I want teachers there are really good teachers that don't teach their favorite subject because they empathize so well with their students about the struggle.
That's a good point.
So that's really good too.
And we all need these skills in life. We need to know how to count. We need to know how to divide, multiply, all these things. But you take it to another whole level.
Geometry. The level. Geometry. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I like all kinds of mathematics. Maybe not so much statistics, but that's okay. But this year, I've got all geometry, and I'm really happy about it because it's my ninth year, consecutive year teaching geometry, and I love it every more. Every year, I like it more. So it's a real blessing.
I'm sure that communicates to the kids because you love the subject, and that helps you to be able to communicate that in a better way to the kids. Mm-hmm. And what grades are you teaching now?
Mostly it'll be 10th graders, but it'll be some 9th graders as well.
9th and 10th grade.
Yes, mostly 10th grade.
So you like teenagers?
Oh, I definitely like teenagers.
Teens, oh my gosh.
One year before I got this position, I did quite a lot of substituting. So I substituted in first grade, in kindergarten, in middle school, in upper elementary. And the younger they got, I thought, no, I think I need to stick to teenagers.
Well, see, that's your gifting.
Yeah.
And you know where God has placed you. And it's such an inspiration. And being a godly woman, I see you brought your Bible and all your notes, because I know that God is a very important part of your life. And mm-hmm. knowing His will and seeking Him for God's direction for the day, mm-hmm. as well as for your students, as I've spoken with you before, that's a very important part of your life.
I think it's really important that you... I try and pray in the spirit in my classroom before the children arrive. Mm-hmm. I do find it tough because it's an early start. You know, the children arrive at 7. So as teachers, if you're a high school teacher, you have to be there really early. And that's an adjustment coming from England where they start a bit later. But anyway, nonetheless, so you want the presence of God in your classroom just as much as you want the presence of God wherever you go.
Yeah.
Especially there, you would think, because the enemy is fighting this generation in such a horrible way. They need to find their place and their identity and how God loves them just as they are. They don't have to change who they are.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I was trying to put myself in a student's position, thinking, what three things, if I had to pick three things that the students really need, what would those three things be? And I thought of joy as one of the one things they need.
Yeah.
Because for them to have hope for themselves in life, they need joy to base that on.
Yes.
And they need love. So it's those three things that I thought were really important for students. And it says, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart.
Yeah.
And in the word. And so I think one of the most important things I do is put a smile on my face at my classroom door.
Yes, you know, that's good.
Even if I might not feel like it, I put a smile on my face.
You have to do it, that's right.
You do it for the kids.
You know, that's what the song says, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. I'm not going to sing it, but you know that's awesome.
I'll just have a look at... I did make a little note.
Of course, and that's so important. just to
smile. Yeah, a cheerful it look makes brings all the joy difference. To the heart is in Proverbs 15. That was that one.
Say that again.
A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Yes.
What translation, I wonder, is that? It's a little different than the King James, but it's perfect.
It's either the New King James or it could be the NIV. I'm not sure which.
I didn't put my... A cheerful look, you said?
A cheerful look.
That's good.
Yeah, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart.
And when you said, even when you don't feel like it, you know, how often do we have to do that? Whether you're a teacher or wherever you are, just things happen in life, of course, circumstances. You might not be on your A game, but you always make sure to put that smile on your face.
And, you know, I was just thinking that it's not just a facial thing. If it's just a facial thing, it comes off phony. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you cheer up from the inside out, mm-hmm. You're going to smile differently, mm-hmm. you know? Yes. Because every time before mm-hmm. we do a taping like this or a program, yeah. We have someone comes in and takes pictures, and he'll say, okay, pose, and we take a picture. Mm-hmm. And he always says, say Jesus. And I'm telling you, when he says, when we all repeat Jesus, there's something that we all seem to glow. Yes. I know, I feel like yeah. There's a different level of joy that comes in my mm-hmm. heart mm-hmm. just saying his name. And so this outlook is so important. It's not just a facial thing. It's from the inside mm-hmm. out.
That's so wonderful.
That is lovely.
I agree.
That is lovely. And I'm really blessed. I have a lot of colleagues that love Jesus.
Oh, good.
So that's
so important.
That's lovely. So there was those three things: joy, hope, and love.
Yes.
I want to dwell just a bit on hope. And I, when my students come in, I think they have this question:
yeah.
Is there any hope for me? Mm. Is that, you know, a lot of young people are asking that question of their lives. Is there, you know, is there a point to life? Is there a point to my life? Mm. I found in Job 17, it says, who can see any hope for me? And I want to be one of those teachers that I can see hope for you.
Beautiful.
Just like God says in Jeremiah, there is hope in your future,
right,
says
and that's the
Lord.
Whole reason they're getting educated yeah. is there has a hope for a future life, something they can do that's unique to them, that they can contribute to the world mm-hmm. and to life and themselves feel fulfilled. Because if you don't do what you're, find your place, so they're really looking for their place in life. They're yeah. searching. And they have so many decisions they have to make.
Yes.
So it's important they
yes.
have godly counselors in their life, like you are as one of the teachers, that they're able to connect with and find that hope.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I like what you said about the decisions, because they need wisdom, just like teachers need wisdom. I think if we think back to our own time in school, we always yeah. remember teachers that said a good word for us and the flip side of that, who said something that was negative.
Uh-huh.
I remember sharing with you, Chrissy, yeah. that I had a teacher that told me that I could never take mathematics to the highest level, you know, because I had I didn't perform well with one exam, and I just thought, well, you just don't know. Just watch me.
I love that.
And my response to that, I didn't say anything, but in my heart, I made a decision to prove her wrong.
I love that.
But then I had other teachers that were, you know,
so even when you get a bad report, it can stir you up to prove them wrong.
I love that.
Oh, yeah? Absolutely.
Let me show you. Watch yeah. this. Yeah. I'm going to be the best mathematician you ever saw. But yeah. that's so true. And how many times, you know, teachers don't even realize, or parents, you might be just talking, because you shared with me that specific teacher, she really didn't, you felt that there really was no malice in her when she shared that.
Oh, no, like, she was trying to do the right thing.
You see, she thought, you know, so how many times we often say things to our kids or to each other that it's constructive criticism but it's really, we have to watch what we say, because it can make or break somebody's confidence. In this case, it turned it around and made you say, well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to be great at it.
She was just trying to, you know, she just looked at how I was doing on paper and was trying to be realistic, you know?
Realistic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that affect you when you're addressing other students?
Mm-hmm.
That experience has helped you to how do you communicate with the ones that you're entrusted with.
Yes.
You're always mindful that your words matter, and
That's good.
And some things are best not said. You know, you're always wow. trying to exercise self-control because something, a quick remark might pop into your head, but that might crush them. So you don't want to say that. Mm-hmm. Or you see something wrong, but you want to steer it around so that they want to work things out, or they want to move on from things that they've got wrong without being negative about it.
Yeah. Right. You need to help them to find their way without discouraging them.
And the same with behavior, too. It's not just all directed at their academic stuff at all. A lot of what teachers do is help young people learn how to behave and, you know, just basic manners and kindness, you know, just to...
Respect
each other and appreciate when they do the right thing. They don't like to be the center of the attention necessarily. So you might have to...
They want to be noticed, but they don't want to be noticed.
They want both at the same time. Yeah, you know, they want to be recognized when they do the right thing, but they don't like to be the center.
Singled out.
No, absolutely. That's right.
But I would think even, you know, teenagers must be exciting in a lot of ways. I know when I actually wanted to be a school teacher when I was growing up, I always thought that I would be a third grade school teacher till Jesse whisked me off and married me. And then I didn't go to college because I was traveling around the country with a nightclub entertainer.
Wow, what a difference.
Yeah, I know. It was a different life than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And we were so opposite. But, I mean, I always thought third grade would be good. But thinking now that I have a 16-year-old granddaughter and seeing how important the teenage years, you know, there I see parents that maybe they work for while the children are at a younger age. But when the kids are teenagers, they decide, I'm not going to work now. I need it. Because they sometimes need more time and more attention because they can get into trouble quicker, I guess. But teenage years are so important. So important. So it's important that they have godly teachers in their life like you are. So.
I love what you said, thinking about parenting, because when parents do come, and you do see far fewer parents come to things at high school, but I say you're doing the right thing. Your kids need to know that you support them when they're in their teens. If you can make the time to communicate or be here whenever you can, that is really important to them. So I always praise the parents for making the effort, because I know everyone has busy schedules and it gets hard. I do remember I stopped teaching when my children were preschool. I took a break. And that was a real privilege to be able to do that. I could be home, but I didn't stop being a teacher just because I was mum at home. And I think you might not be a teacher, but if you're a mum, you're definitely a teacher for your little ones.
That's right.
I remember my husband and I, we'd always speak to our toddlers and say, we're looking forward to you being teenagers. Because teenagers get bad press.
Yeah,
they do. They do get bad press. And someone just said, you know, you want to communicate to your children that you've got to love them whatever age they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before we even had children, we heard this from at church for when we had input about Christian parenting. And so we've always told our children, we're looking forward to you being a teenager. And I think that's... you can speak to any one of my own children. We've been able to maintain open communication, and that really, really helps.
And how old are your children now?
Good question.
In a roundabout figure, you have to be exact.
16, 25, and 26.
And wow. One of them are married. The oldest is married.
Yes, that's right.
I remember the wedding.
Yeah, he's recently moved to Oregon, so he's out there.
And he likes math too, doesn't he?
Yes, he's a far better mathematician than I am.
Really?
Oh yeah.
That's his chosen profession, actually.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely. He does. He's a management consultant, and he spots patterns and. Which sounds very simple, but
it's complex. Very complex.
Knowing what to do with those patterns and how to respond to them,
he's
really good with that. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. And I love when we were sitting together a few days ago just chatting, one thing that really stood out to me when you were talking about, you know, your classroom and preparing for this next year is to pray for wisdom and how important it is to ask God for your for wisdom in each and everything that you do. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just know, like, as you're preparing, what are some things you do as a godly woman besides praying over the classroom that really sets your feet steadfast and ready to go forward into the new year where God's placed you?
Sometimes I just have to stop and be like, just ask God to touch my lips so that I have the right words. Mm-hmm. Just a bit like Isaiah. And spend time listening. Because he can bring a name to mind, someone I have to watch out for, or someone, or here I ask for ideas. Maybe there's a hallway conversation that I need to have with a particular student, and maybe I've got too many, so I might say, okay, which one should I see today, Lord? And try and keep God in communication with my working life as well as my home life, rather than, I think, Jesse said recently, your Christianity shouldn't be pushed into the corners of your life, but it should be in every part of your life. And so I bring Jesus into the classroom with me and into my prep time, and look for wisdom to get the right priorities in the things I say and in the things that I do as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love what you just mentioned, that you stop. You just stop. You acknowledge, I need you, Lord, touch my lips. How often do we need that? Mm. Just to give him total control, and he does have his way, doesn't he? He will open the doors, he will close the doors, he will lead you to the right students to chat with. And you mentioned those hallway talks, because that's where you can really get on one-on-one with the students, correct?
That can make a world of difference with students, because they know that you've taken time out of your day just for them.
Because you care.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It shows.
Yeah.
And you know what I love about you, Monica, is you have such a calm spirit. I can just sense that it's communicated in the classroom. It really sets the mood for the learning experience. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be anxious. This is something that you can do, mm-hmm. and I'll show you how. Basically, I hope I'm explaining it correctly, but this is how I sense that you are in the classroom. And it's important that we have, and I'm sure you're inspiration to other teachers, that you're, like you said, there are other teachers where you're at, the school you're at, they're also believers, and you draw strength from one another.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? We do. I don't like being observed, but you do get people in and out of your classroom, and you go into other classroom. We do encourage each other. That's what came to mind. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes, and so sometimes you say the wrong thing. And I know from my own children that, you know, some teachers find it really difficult to, my bad, I made a mistake, I need to apologize, but I will do that. And there's a real strong sense of fairness and justice in young people, and they want you to stick by what you believe, and if you need to apologize for something, to do just that. So they respect you for that,
I
think.
And then you lead by example, because they know they make mistakes and they have to own it.
Yes.
And so it's nothing, there's life after a mistake.
Absolutely.
And so, everybody can just agree that we're all human. And, you know, I didn't quite get it right, but let's get it right. Let's fix it.
I love that, Miss Kathy.
You know, isn't
that
wonderful?
Do. Yes.
And so that's part of the learning lesson. I mean, everything in the classroom is not about the book. It's not about the A plus B equals C, right? Is that geometry or is that something else?
Oh, that's like
we'll
advanced.
Algebra.
That's algebra. I've been out of school a long time.
Let me tell you, I was a great student. I really was. But math, man. But man, you have an anointing for it. That's wonderful. Hopefully, I don't have to. You know what I love? That your phone has a calculator on it. That handy dandy calculator. It helps me out.
Yeah, but you know, I think too, and not everybody, that's their strong suit, but I know that in your classroom, you can recognize the ones that is their gifting. Because yes, there are some that they have a destiny, because we need these people society. We need people that know how to run the banking industry, the investment industry, just being managers of companies. Mm-hmm. You need to know those numbers. You need to be able to look at things. Even in our ministry, there's people, we have people that are in the finance department that have to get it right. I mean, if they would be making a wrong deposit or entering the wrong amount of someone's donation all the time. Numbers are important. Mm-hmm. And so you in your classroom, in the same way, you're recognizing those who have the giftings, and I'm sure you can help nurture them into their next step.
Yes,
is that
indeed.
What you do?
You do make encouraging remarks to students, and you try and make them as specific as you can with their learning, because you want them to see their natural giftings, but also see where hard work and effort takes them as well, because a lot of students will surprise themselves when they apply themselves. Yeah. And it's really rewarding. That's why I love teaching. One of the reasons
I
love
teaching.
I like
that a lot, because some people just say it does come easy to some kids, but even the ones that it comes easy to, they need to learn to apply work ethic and disciplines so they can go to an even higher level.
Absolutely.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, indeed. That's right. You want them to to exceed their own expectations. Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing teachers do is be encouraging to students so that they can learn and be successful.
Yeah, and you're a high school teacher, so you're involved and see what's going on the spirit side level. I'm sure there's kids, they have all these activities at school, football games, all these things they do in a high school level, which is a little different than younger school ages. But kids get excited about school life in general. But they have the work part they have to do. But the school life is fun, too. And as the teachers are involved in some of that, I'm sure, as well.
Oh, yes. Students like nothing more than seeing teachers not in the classroom, but
being normal people. Oh, like if they see you in the grocery store. I can remember being a little girl going, there's Miss Smith. She's a real human. Yeah, like she's
buys
buying groceries. She's buying chicken. You think she'll cook it? Like it was just, it's a mind-blowing thing. But you're right. When they see you having fun and engaging with them, it just sparks, it gets them excited. When you become, you know, you're a team. You really are with your students, and I can tell they love you. And what you're talking about, your whole discussion, really consistency is the key. Knowing that you're beginning school starting, stay consistent, stay hardworking, stay prayed up, stay full of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I think you're a beautiful example of that. I really do.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think students really do look for that consistency you treating students with fairness and making an effort to be consistent, so it doesn't matter whether what kind of background they have when they walk through, whether how their ability is, you're still going to give them the same care and the same respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love
it's
that.
It's so needed.
It's so important. It really reflects our wonderful Savior, how He came for everyone. Everyone is different, but He loves us all the same.
Amen.
We don't have to be a high achiever. We don't have to be, maybe we make mistakes. He loves us exactly the same.
Praise
and He
God.
Has a good life for each one of us. This is why we named this program Glorious Living, because we serve a wonderful Savior who really wants everyone to have a glorious life.
That's right.
And that's even in high school.
Even in math class.
Okay.
So good. So good.
So wonderful. Well, thank you, Monica, so much for being here with us today. We appreciate you being
really
on the program, coming for the very first time.
Yes.
And I know the people have just enjoyed your beautiful English accent.
I have.
A proper English lady.
I know. Feel like next time we need tea.
We should have had tea instead of water. Scones. And clotted cream and all those things.
And homemade raspberry jam.
She's made me some of that.
Really?
Before, yes.
Well, we need to talk after
Martin,
the program.
Martin made that.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Martin is a great cook,
is.
Too. He
That's
loves
so
to bake.
I love it. Well, it's just so fun having you here and learning from you and gaining that wisdom. I know that everyone watching, whether they're parents, teachers, whoever they are, they've gain some knowledge that's going to propel them into this next year with just excitement. So
yes,
it's good stuff.
Thank you. Yes, and it's also an encouragement to know that you can help them to know that they just being consistent with your life, like we were talking about, will make a difference in this next school year, not just school year, but in life.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, this is what we do here at Covenant Church and Jesse Duplantis Ministries, you know, and it's all because of our partners. I don't want to leave without thanking our partners for being a part of this wonderful ministry. Mm-hmm. If you're not a partner, you can become one by going to jdm.org, use your PayPal, text to give, select giving on the JDM app as well, or you can mail in your donation and just know that we love you and we appreciate all that you do to help us to reach people and change lives one soul at a time.
Good stuff.
Before we go, let's just pray together for those that are watching.
Yes,
Father, I pray
you,
for every person that's been watching this program. Lord, they're part of this program. Mm-hmm. Lord, we prepared it for with them in mind that they can be an encouragement to those that are in their life, whether they're in the school system, whether they're a teacher, whether they're a family member, maybe they're just called to be an encourager. Lord, we ask your blessing on all those that are watching, whatever it is they're facing. Lord, let them know that you're right there with them, touching them and strengthening them. We send the word to them now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
That's great.
Amen. That's so good. So good having you, Monica. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you. And I believe that you're going to have the best school year yet.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Thank
you. Thanks, Chrissy, for
love
being
it.
Here
thank
as well.
You
and
so
thank
much.
You thank for you. Being here with us today. I look forward to seeing you next week on another Glorious Living right here in Studio C. Bye-bye.